Yeah, thank you. Good morning. Good morning, Rien. In association, I think, with the previous speaker, I also will produce some sounds from the soil survey community. It's a somewhat different community, but I'd like to say that the work of Rien has been quite helpful, I think, in also using our database, making our databases more effective. We have lots of data in our databases all over the world, and they are used, but the work of Rien has helped us, I think, a great deal to make that use more more profitable. How does this go? Well, I want to give some practical examples, some applications, if you like. And there is a central question here for this particular small presentation, is that how the variability of peat transfer functions affects the prediction of functional soil properties. We've put a lot of emphasis in the Wageningen work on functional properties, in other words, the properties of the soil that are directly related to the use of the soil, for various types of use. The classical soil survey interpretations that you find in a lot of soil survey reports, the classical soil survey reports, are rather qualitative. It's suitable for this, it's not suitable for that. And these are the kind of interpretations that may be useful in a very broad regional or context, but not so much if you work specifically on fields and farms. Now, the soil type we're talking about is a sandy, siliceous, mesic-typic haplaquat. Must be quite reassuring to you that you know it's that one, right? And that's the most common sandy soil in the Netherlands. Now, somewhat, I think an interesting sampling scheme was done. This study was done a number of years ago, because we want to make a statement about this particular soil type which occurs in certain mapping units in the field. And there is, of course, quite a bit of variability there, and the kind of statements you're going to make about that particular type of soil, and again, it's the most common sandy soil in the Netherlands, you want those statements also to be quantitative and reproducible. So what they did, they elected 11 map sheets. Oops. What's happening? Yeah. It's the left one? No? Where is the arrow?
Just move the mouse around.
Well, move it out. All right. Sorry. There are 11 map sheets in the northern part of the country. These are map sheets of the 1 to 50,000 survey of the country that has been finished, just like in Belgium. And within every map field, two units of this particular soil type were chosen at random. Now, these are delineated units, so that includes also the spatial variability within that particular units. And then, at random again, within each of these two units, four at random samplings were taken. So in total of 88 observations. Now, in terms of the functional characteristics, in this particular case, they were the five which I will mention in a moment, and they were simulated with the SWACROP and the Trenzel model, the SWACROP for crop production, the Trenzel models for transportation of chemicals in the soil. And those functional characteristics in this case are well typically associated with that particular with particular demands that came from land users at that particular location. So the first one was the number of days in the period March 15, May 15 with good workability. Very important in the early spring when farmers want to get out that they can really get their machines out on the land. That's very important, obviously. And in associated experiments, we have determined that when you have a pressure head that is lower than minus 70 centimeters, the trafficability is adequate. And you can run your model and find out how many days that pressure head is indeed lower than 70 centimeters. That's the first one. The second one is the number of days with good aeration in the same period has a direct relation with the way the crops get started, so to speak. And that is related to the effectivity of the fertilization practices as well, which is associated with an air-filled porosity more than 10 volume percent at 5 centimeter depth. The third one, these are two rather physical land qualities, land characteristic, functional properties. And the three other ones are more chemically oriented. The elapsed time to 10% breakthrough of inert chloride, the percent breakthrough after 1 year of inert adsorbing cadmium, so it is still inert, but it is adsorbed. And then the last one, the same for adsorbing degrading herbicide isoproteron. That was a very important experiment that had to be done because there was the usual problem of groundwater pollution with agrochemicals we're all familiar with. So again, these are functional characteristics that were very much focused to the particular problem that was found in this particular area. Now, a continuous Peter transfer function was used for the simulation of the water movement. And one thing I would like to say here, and that's why I feel it's very important that we have the work of Rien van Genuchten also in this very much applied context, is that we still see a lot of models that still use the tipping bucket concept. Huh? The old story of available water, 1/3 bar, 15 bar. There are very simple Peter transfer functions that can relate texture, organic matter content, bulk density to those to this available water kind of thing. There are quite a few models that still are using that. These models are not giving good results. They're very crude. And the linking up of the soil databases with the van Genuchten equations allows us to get more up-to-date simulations, more realistic simulations using the Richards equation with all its problems, as we have heard this morning. Now, the parameters of the van Genuchten equation, and because of time, I'm not listing all of them, but you've seen enough of that already this morning, they were statistically rated for each soil horizon in those 88 locations with a number of soil parameters. The texture, the percentage of smaller than 50 micron, the silt, we call it sometimes, M50 sand fraction, bulk density, organic matter, and either topsoil or subsoil. So there were a lot of those measurements were being made, and also measurements were made of the groundwater level. And that was done for a period of 18 months. Now, what I will only report here today is that the statistical analysis that was done and the results I present here, they show the uncertainties in terms of variances. So we got a lot of answers on these questions for these 18 months, for this 18-month period, based on those simulations that were fed with the van Genuchten equations, as I explained. And the overall output, in terms of these functional properties, there was an uncertainty associated with it. That was calculated. And what was tried here was to find out what the contribution to total variance was of the various elements that played a role in those calculations. And we found that for the physical characteristics of aeration status and workability, the estimation error that was involved in the Peter transfer function, in other words, the variation among those various characteristics that were used to feed the equation, was very high here. It was 60% here and 65% over there. There was a certain variation of what we call the mean highest water and the mean lowest water table, so the water table variation was quite substantial, and the rest was the variation of all basic soil properties exclusive of the water table. So the other properties that were not reflected in the van Genuchten equation but also played a role in the whole simulation procedure. In contrast, the three functional properties with a more chemical characteristic were mainly determined by all basic soil properties, excluding the water table. You see that here. You see for the chloride breakthrough, it's the basic soil properties. And just a little bit, 20% of the Peter transfer functions, so considerably less than in the other ones. And if you go to the other two, the adsorbing and the isoproteron, which is the most important, you'll find that the contribution to the total variance of the numbers that came out of the calculation I talked about, the major thing was due to the variation in basic soil properties. You see that over here. And in the variation of the water table levels. So there was quite a significant difference. And one, this is important, we believe, in the sense that you're often faced with the question, are we going to measure or not? We've heard a lot this morning about calculations, simulation models using the van Genuchten parameters, but at the same time, of course, you like to know what's out there and what the real measurements are, but we all know that's costly, it's very time-consuming. So this procedure has been helpful for us, I believe, to make a selection that if you are going to measure only for the kind of problems where it makes sense, in the sense that the Peter transfer functions have a major impact on the overall uncertainty, in reducing the overall uncertainty that you're considering. So the estimation error for Peter transfer functions was a major source of variance of physical functional properties, workability and aeration, showed you that. variance for the three chemical functional properties was, however, determined by variations in soil properties and water table levels and not by estimated error in the Peter transfer functions. And these results, and this is what I was saying, can help focus sampling procedures and the emphasis of research when studying either physical or chemical soil functional properties. So it's used here, if you like, in kind of a screening-like application, which we have found is quite useful, and it can help you to decide what you are going to do. Now, there was no field validation here whatsoever. And there was only modeling. Now, the modeling was done with a well-calibrated and validated simulation model in comparable soils. And then, I guess, we feel it is justified to do it. Just do the modeling without any field validation whatsoever is pretty tricky business, as we all know. But because these soils are reasonably homogeneous, there are no very compact layers or whatever, and they're not hydrophobic at the surface, it's a very important aspect, we feel that these results are acceptable, even though we have no field validation. But if you have structured soils, and this gets back to comments that were made here before this morning, the story is a little bit different. And there is the KS problem, or the K-not problem, or whatever you want to call it. And I just cite this example from another study where we had a structured silt loam, a B2 horizon of a silt loam soil, not extremely clay, but with clear pads and all that, where we measured the K-set and we used these big columns. We wanted a representative elementary volume, so we have the core of these columns of about 20 liters, and we encased them in gypsum, put an infiltrometer on top, and there were some worm channels in there. The K-set measured was 1 meter a day. But when we detached the column, it was 80 meters a day, and in both cases, it's saturated and it's a gradient of unity. Then we put a light crust on top, and we found that here, there's a capillary model, all the pores conduct the water. There was a certain phase when the larger pores apparently were not completely filled with water, but water ran along the walls of the pores. You see that a lot, the larger pores. And then finally, you get an unsaturated condition where the large pores are empty, or filtered air. And what we found here is a whole range from 80 meters a day all the way to about 3 centimeters a day when this point was reached. So will the real KSAT stand up? Now, listening to the other presentations here, I think there's still quite a bit to be gained by analyzing some of these structures we're dealing with in this sense and showing that there's quite a range, because if you're looking for one number, that can affect very much the form of the curve, as we have seen, of course. So the analysis of the real structure as it occurs in the field, which can be done with this crest test, but also maybe with other tests, is a good way of going about this and can help maybe to make the Peter transfer functions more suitable. So the Van Genuchten flow equations, when fed by Peter transfer functions, have been quite helpful in connecting soil databases with hydrological modeling and land evaluation. It's been a very good contribution, and again, we get away from the tipping bucket this way, which I think is a very good thing. Now, mechanistic uncritical application of the procedure, and we have seen some examples of that, may produce irrelevant and very poor results, particularly in structured soils. I guess we have to be aware of this and include field monitoring and validation in the research process, and maybe the kind of screening procedure I've talked about when it really pays to measure hydraulic characteristics, or when other soil aspects play a more important role, can play a role in all of that. Thank you very much.